Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is the 13th chapter, one of the most famous chapters in the book of Revelation. Because, of course, 666, the number of the beast, the mystery. Everyone remembers these images. If you've ever, read Revelation, I remember when I was a teenager, of course, this chapter really stuck out. The beast. The two beasts. There's two beasts. So John's saying, now in vision, there was a wonder in heaven. And he saw the woman clothed with the sun. And now he's standing on the sand of the sea. That's an earthly location. Because this beast's area of influence is in the earth. He's standing on the sea and he sees a beast rise up out of the sea. When it says the bottomless pit, it is the pit of the abyss. And the abyss often refers to the sea. And of course, the deepest places on the surface of the world are in the bottoms of the ocean and the trenches and so on. And so forth. And the beast rises out of the sea.
As it is written later on, the sea represents peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And when Satan comes, the rulers of this world do not appoint him king, but rather he receives his kingdom from the accolades of the people. It just rises organically as from the sea, and he grants powers to the kings. We'll get to that.
So the beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Now, when the beast appeared before, I mentioned that his crowns were on the heads, and so there were 7 crowns. And here he has 10 crowns, and the crowns are upon the horns. Later on, it explains what these horns and these heads signify. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And the 10 horns are 10 kings, which haven't received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, that's very simple to me. I don't have to look around the world and say, who are the 10 kings? Well, you wouldn't see them. It could be some hobo. I mean, not very likely, but I mean, it could. It could be just some hobo off the street. Suddenly, this guy's elevated to one of the kings. They have received no kingdom of yet. It's not going to be any earthly ruler who is already in power. It's going to be someone who rises to power at that time. So speculation is pointless. The horns have 10 crowns. They are 10 kings. The kingdom is on the horn. Now, if the heads are 7 mountains, and that, what does that represent? I'm leaping ahead, but we're going to be talking about the beast, so we ought to have a good idea of what we're talking about. 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, some people have suggested, Rome, yes. And I suppose you could make that interpretation, but the 7 hills of Rome, the 7 mountains, I know the Roman Catholic Church is a great whore. But you know what? There was a time in which the Catholic Church really could have fulfilled a lot. They looked in Revelation, during the Protestant Revolution, and they saw correlation between what the church had become and what was written in Revelation. And that gave rise to the historical interpretation of Revelation, which I'm not a believer in that. Because, those Reformed churches, many themselves have become whores. Different denominations within many Reformation churches that ordain homosexuals, and they do all kinds of things which would be considered pretty far away from the doctrine of the Scriptures and from righteousness. Because it's not an unpardonable sin, what I just mentioned, but it's not something you can just take off the books like that and just say, you can do all that you like. It's the difference between saying stealing is you can be forgiven, and saying, well, you know what? Actually, steal whatever you want. It's no longer a sin. It's totally cool. You can't do that. The judgment of God it stands. It's there. It's what it says. You can interpret it away if you please, at your peril. you know, many of these churches have also become whores in a sense. In a sense, is they've not stuck to the purity of doctrine that the apostles taught. And maybe when the Reformation began, they had a good thing. But a lot of these places have gone astray. And yeah, I know some are more faithful than others. But I myself resist institutionalized religion because I think it is a corrupting influence. It is absolutely guaranteed to become corrupt. When you create earthly institutions that pass down earthly power by earthly means, these aren't things like where the Spirit of God is choosing leaders or the Spirit of God. No. You go to the institution and they teach you the institutional knowledge and you come, and of course it's all correct. We know that we got it all correct. I mean, you'd think we'd get it all correct, right? I mean, we've been Christians for 2,000 years now. Humans. And you think by now it would be no big deal. We should all have everything straightened out. But of course, the divisions are deeper and more, they're deeper than ever. You know, there are deep divisions in what people believe about what the scriptures say. And for some people that's distressing, but I think that's what I expect. When I read the scriptures, I expect the world to look the way it does. Because the apostles warned that after, you know, Paul said, after my departing, I tell you that grievous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, departing from the faith. You know, men heap to themselves disciples and corrupt the truth. And we, therefore, have a state in the world where so many groups of Christians are out of line with the truth, with what, you know, the scriptures instruct us to believe. Now, of course, that's my opinion, many people would say. Well, that's my opinion, sure. And they have their opinion. They think they're right. I think I'm right. You know, and the crux of the thing is, how do you tell the difference? How do you know who you ought to follow? Well, you don't. God reveals it to you. And he can suffer us to be deceived. You know, because the truth is what it is, right? And if we don't love what the truth is, if we knew the truth, we might believe just to save our skin, even though we loved it not.